I was watching a TV program recently, and there was a discussion between a lawyer and a prosecutor. They had been friends at college, and they were competitors, I guess, for the valedictorian or the salutatorian or salads or whatever they do with college graduates. But they were competitors. And one of the part of the conversation was the lawyer said her job was to get their clients off regardless of the truth. And the prosecutor said that the whole focus that she had was to seek the truth. What was true? And it struck me that we don't always seek the truth. Sometimes we seek consensus with our opinions. If you go online, if you go on social media, you'll see a lot of people looking for consensus. This is my opinion. Who agrees with me? Sometimes we seek agreement with positions we want to believe that satisfy what we want. Not necessarily truth. Sometimes we seek to belong. That's a group of individuals. I want to be part of it. I want to be known as one of them. Sometimes we seek to hear the juicy bits of celebrities and politicians, friends and neighbors. And we want to dig in and deep. What's the real scoop about this individual? We go on and watch television talk shows, and they get bent out of shape by their own opinions over events that took place. And they take a position, and they bash and thrash. And then they drop it without apology when they realize their position and opinion was wrong, because they found out the truth of the event that took place. People stand on opinions, and they take a position on opinions, but they not often take a stand for truth. For truth. Winston Churchill once stated, "Men occasionally stumble over the truth, but most of them pick themselves up and hurry off as if nothing had happened." Truth didn't seem to appeal to them. It didn't apply to them. It didn't matter in their lives. This is either Churchill or Mark Twain or anonymous. You take a pick. "A lie can travel halfway around the world while truth is still lacing up its boots." And we've seen that in social media. An event takes place, it looks like one thing, and social media tears and bashes, and then a week later, 10 days later, they find out the truth. No apology, just leave it alone. The truth didn't matter. The truth didn't matter. And what we end up with is we back away from truth, and then we look for the juicy bits. And then we have the slander and the gossip and the judgment and the critiques. I was joking yesterday. We had a message given in a Bible study last week about part of it was the five love languages. And I said there were two missing, bitterness and criticism. But I was referring to society. A fellow by the name of Vern Howard, he's an author, teacher, and a philosopher, stated, "Humanity appreciates truth about as much as a squirrel appreciates silver." Society isn't really looking for truth. They're looking for agreement. They're looking for consensus. They're not really looking for truth. And then back to Mark Twain. "Familiarity breeds contempt," he said. How accurate is that? The reason we hold truth in such respect is because we have so little opportunity to be familiar with it. He was an observer of society, and he recognized people were afraid of the truth, disdainful of the truth, walked away from the truth, preferred their opinion and or consensus of the group of people that they were around. Do you want to test your mettle? Do you want to see if your strength will stand against what is right and wrong? Well, challenge one who is enamored with their opinion with a contrary opinion and position. And they will argue with you from an emotional standpoint without ever bringing up facts. I was always wrong. There was someone in my life, I was always wrong. There wasn't anything, I mean, seriously, there wasn't any position, any suggestion, any opinion I could have other than I was wrong. If I agreed with him, or if I disagreed with him, I was wrong. If I didn't have an opinion, I was wrong. And if I agreed with him, I was wrong because I didn't agree with him to the depth of which he understood things. I stopped having a relationship with that individual. It was impossible. I was always wrong. It didn't matter what the position or opinion was. It just wasn't worth it. Mark Twain opined, oh, by the way, there'll be more than a few quotes from a few individuals today. Mark Twain said, it is curious that physical courage should be so common and moral courage so rare. It is curious that physical courage should be so common and moral courage is so rare. Sometimes it's just difficult to stand up for the truth. Sometimes it's difficult to go after the truth. Sometimes it's difficult to dig for what is real and true. It's just so easy to have opinion. It's just so easy to go with the consensus. The question we might ask ourselves today is, are we always seeking truth over opinion in our lives? Do we seek the truth with our relationship with God? Do we seek the truth with our relationship with Jesus Christ? Do we seek the truth with ourselves? One of the biggest deceits we have in our lives is self-deceit. My brother-in-law, his father was sick, and his family gathered around themselves, talking to the doctor, and decided not to tell his dad how sick he was. They arbitrarily decided that he didn't need to know the truth. And they didn't tell him. I'll let you know now, it's on record here, I want to know. I can't make choices. I can't make decisions unless I know that I know that I know what's true. None of us can make decisions unless we know what is true. As far as I know, Hector's dad died never knowing how bad the cancer was in his life because his family chose not to tell him the truth. Do we seek truth with each other and with the world around us? Am I a truth seeker? For those who like titles, the title is, Am I Tied to the Truth? Am I Tied to the Truth? Over the last few weeks, we talked about the names of God. We wanted to get to know God. We wanted to know where he's coming from. We wanted to understand his character, his nature, so that we could get close to him. We wanted to understand him. We wanted to understand his likes. Well, how about his dislikes? You all know me. It's kind of sad. Dietarily, if I were to visit your place, you would never offer me onions because I would go screaming into the night because I despise onions and green peppers and squash. I mean, the list of things I don't like is longer than the things I like. But you get to know me, and to be respectful, I could understand you would want to kind of fix things for me. And I'm okay if you don't because I've learned to pick. My mother hated that, but that's all right. But how about let's take a look at what God dislikes to understand him better. And when we look at this list, we will see that we get back to what is true. To what is true. Let's go to Proverbs 6. Proverbs 6. You probably already know what I'm talking about. Proverbs 6. We get to know God through his word. We get to see God through what is revealed to us, his character, his nature. Let's take a look at Proverbs 6. Excuse me. There was a discussion on the internet. Well, God is love. Yes, absolutely. 1 John 5. The Word of God is all about love, absolutely. But here in God's Word it says, verse 16, these six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination. Let's take a look at these. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift to running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren. All of these are based on truth and lies. And as we'll point out, God hates falsehood. He hates what is false. Lies and falsehoods impact us all. They damage us all. They stop us all from growing in grace and knowledge unless we have the truth as our foundation. Unless we have the truth of our foundation. Let's just back up onto verse 12. A worthless person, a wicked man, walks in with a perverse mouth. He winks with his eyes, meaning he lies. He shuffles his feet. He is ambiguous with his with the truth. He points with his fingers. He's critical. Perversity is in his heart. He runs to evil. He devises evil continually. That's what his plan is. And he sows discord. Therefore, his calamity shall come suddenly. Suddenly he shall be broken without remedy. It's interesting. These are things that God hates. These are things that God hates. Psalm 27. Psalm 27, verse 11. Psalm 27, verse 11. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Our enemies want to put barriers and speed bumps and trials and difficulties in front of us. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me. You ever have somebody at work start rumors about you? Things that are not true, stabbing you in the back between your shoulder blades? False witnesses have risen against you, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I would have lost heart unless I understood truth of this word. That's where our foundation should be. That our foundation should be the Word of God. We know of a group, all of us have known of a group, mentioned in the book of Acts, that set the pattern for all of us in understanding God's Word. Acts 17. Begins with a B. You could already start writing down the Bereans. These individuals were from the city of Berea. Today it's the Greek Macedonia, northern part of Greece. Acts 17, verse 10. Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Paul and Silas were turning the world upside down. They are taking the Jews and teaching them Christianity. It was turning their world upside down. That's what scripture says. And it says that they were more fair-minded. The word means noble. They had an open mind to say, what is true? And they searched the scriptures. What scriptures did they have? They had the Old Testament. And the Old Testament agrees with the New Testament. God's Spirit will always agree with God's Spirit. And God's Spirit inspired this entire book. And they searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, and also not a few of the Greeks, prominent women as well as men. But when the Jews from Thessalonica learned that the word of God was preached by Paul in Berea, they came there also and stirred up the crowd. Sowed discord. Then immediately the brethren sent Paul away to go to the sea. Silas and Timothy remained there. Paul challenged their thoughts, their ideas, their basic culture. And they received the truth, and they studied the truth, and they searched the truth, they sought out the truth, they wanted to know that they know what was true. Not just what was tradition, not just what was opinion, not just tradition, not just opinion, not just common accepted ideas, but the truth. We need to ask ourselves, are we tied to the truth? Do we seek the truth of God in all areas of our lives? In all areas of our lives. 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy 4, verse 3. This is kind of where we are today. I was reading through the news. I was watching some broadcasts on the news. And sometimes you can't tell where the news is and where opinion rises. People have bias in how they present the truth. 2 Timothy 4, verse 3. For the time will come. Now, I believe it's now, certainly. When they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist and fulfill your ministry. That's a discussion with Timothy. But they turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to fables. I was struck by, again, a lot of the reality shows where it's all opinion. And the moment someone brings up fact, they're vilified for fact. They want to hear from teachers who suit their own passions. I think that time is here. Well, back to things that God hates. Pride. A proud look, a haughty look. Well, we know that pride has a foundation not in truth. Pride does not show a true relationship with God, does not show a true relationship with God, with Jesus Christ, does not show a true relationship with the brethren. Pride exalts itself. Pride looks down on others. Pride is dismissive of others. Pride is disrespectful of others. It is judgmental and critical of others. God, as I mentioned before, God had perfection in the kingdom. It says that Lucifer was perfect in all his ways until pride destroyed that perfection. For your notes, you can put in James 4:6, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Pride does not show a true relationship with God. And if we want a relationship with God, it has to be from a position of being humble. If you remember the story of Job, Job had everything taken away from him in what would be considered shock and awe. And his immediate reaction was, right, God gives, God takes away, it's all his. But the longer he was in the trial, the longer he went and struggled in that difficulty, he got more of an attitude of, God owes me an explanation. Until he realized God doesn't owe him anything. As it says in Isaiah, his thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts, Isaiah 55. His thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts. If we allow pride in our lives, then we stop looking for truth. Because we have separated our relationship with God. Pride does not show the truth of our relationship. It provides a barrier, a separation. Number two, when we look at the seven, there are two that deal with falsehoods and lies. So important is the topic of being a truth seeker. Not opinion, not consensus, but truth. That God says, of the seven things I hate, two of these deal with lies. A lying tongue. There was a TED Talk. I watched the TED Talk this last week on lying and identifying liars. And there's a science to lying, whether they look to the left, look to the right, look up or down. Body language, I don't really care. The big thing that was said was a group of strangers met and they were being observed. And in 5 minutes of meeting, those strangers told 10 lies to each other. Strangers, why tell a lie? Why tell a lie? Lying becomes part of us. There was another discussion where it's a good thing for children, little people, to lie because they're learning to be assertive and they're learning to be confident within themselves. And the philosophy, the child philosophy, is that it's okay to lie. God says a lying tongue is something that he hates. Sometimes we lie because we pretend everything's okay. Sometimes we lie to protect ourselves. Sometimes we lie to promote ourselves. There's this issue of being liars. Mark Twain said, of all the animals, man is the only one that lies. Because he's assuming human beings are an animal. Of all the animals on earth, man is the only one that lies. He obviously did not meet Coco the gorilla. Do you know Coco the gorilla? Do you know Coco? Coco is a gorilla, big beastie thing, that they had an opportunity to teach American Sign Language. And it learned 1,000 words of American Sign Language. I'm doing okay to say, I love you. So, that's it. That's all I have. But this gorilla knows 1,000, I think Coco's still alive. I'm not sure. I don't think it's alive. So it learned 1,000 words in sign language and understood 2,000 English words for behavior. It was given a kitten, and it was so very gentle with the kitten, and it was its kitten. It's a little, tiny little kitten. And one day, Coco was upset and ripped the sink off the wall, just ripped it off the wall. And the caretakers asked Coco, what happened? Coco said, sign language, the kitten did it. The kitten did it. Coco was kind of a cool thing. They allowed Coco to watch Mr. Rogers. I guess there's going to be a presentation with Tom Hanks as Mr. Rogers. There's going to be a movie of it, about it coming out. Well, Coco was allowed to watch the show. And then Mr. Rogers came to visit Coco, and he was so thrilled to see Mr. Rogers, he gave him a big embrace. And because he saw it on the show, he took off his shoes. And if a gorilla is taking off your shoes, let him. Just let him. Well, Mark Twain opined that only the only animal that lies is man. And of course, Coco, he didn't know Coco. Well, man lives with lies. Man spews falsehoods for cause or for no reason. You meet a stranger and in 5 minutes you tell 10 lies. Why? Why? Can we really trust what comes out of our mouth if what we say represents what's in our heart? And if there is only deceit in our heart? If we live with lies and falsehoods, am I tied to the truth? Matthew 12. Go back to the Gospels here. Matthew 12. Matthew 12, verse 34. Where springs the truth? Where springs lies? Matthew 12, verse 33, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit, that which you produce. Brood of vipers, of course he's talking to the Pharisees, those he would call hypocrites or hypocrites. You know, the word hypocrite means false face. You're putting on a pretense of who you are. You're lying to the world if you're a hypocrite. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. Out of the treasure of our hearts, our mouth speaks. Out of the heart, the vehicle exposes our heart and mind to those around us. And that is when we really say what's on our minds. Mark Twain said, by the way, I like Mark Twain. I like Churchill. And I like a lot of other writers. But anyway, Mark Twain said, I have a higher and a grander standard of principle than George Washington. He could not lie. I can, but I don't. Because it's a choice. He was just noting that the standard statement that when caught about chopping down a cherry tree, I cannot tell a lie, I did it. Well, we all can lie, but it's a choice. We choose whether or not to lie. Jesus was challenged by the Pharisees, and they bored down to the foundation foundation of the problem, which was lies. Let's go to John 8. We have an exchange taking place. John 8. John 8, verse 37. Well, 31. No, 37. John 8, verse 37. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place with you. Jesus Christ, the word of God, the word of God is truth. Jesus Christ always spoke the truth. The truth had no place for them. It had no place with them. My word has no place with you. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do not. You do what you have seen with your father. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you are Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I have heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we are not born of fornication. We have one father, God. They were calling him illegitimate. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. Their minds were not open to truth. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of lies. If we are not truth seekers, then we may end up being a mirror reflection of Satan's attitude of lies. The exchange here is based on what is true and what is lies. Back in 1995, I had a conversation on the definition of Sabbath. If you were around in 1995, you knew there was a discord within the church. And a friend of mine in the ministry was using the word Sabbath, and I was using the word Sabbath, and all of a sudden, the definition changed from any day of the week for him and Sabbath, Saturday, for me. The definition changed. His truth moved. His truth moved. Truth comes from God. Numbers 23:19. You can throw that in your notes. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie. Doesn't need to lie. Will always tell the truth. When we read his words here, we can trust these words. God chooses, cannot, will not lie. Not so for man. Not so for man. Not so for man. I got it. Let's go to James. James 1. I have to tell you, I had a few more scriptures than in mind than I'm giving you, but there's a lot in the book on truth and lies. There's a lot here. I wrote down some numbers. There are 224 verses with the word truth. There are 77 verses with the word that's true. There's 153 verses that have the word lie. 51 verses that have the word lies. God wants to know what's in our heart. And when we deal with one another, we need to deal with one another out of truth. Always out of truth. James 1 verse 17. A good gift and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. We can trust because what he said is true. You go into a difficulty and God says, I will support you. I will strengthen you. Do we believe that? Do we trust that? Are we excited by that? Verse 18, of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Elsewhere it says that we are a new creation. That we are a new creation. But we are brought forth by the word of truth. We'll get to it, but John 17:17, sanctify them by your word. Your word is true. We'll come to that. But we have trust and confidence in God. And then he passes on to us the idea that we need to be, we are part of God's truth, and that we should live in truth. Zechariah 8, just before Matthew. Zechariah 8, verse 14. Giving us some instruction and guidance. See, this is a little different nuance than not speaking lies. This is a truth seeker, wanting to know what is true, wanting to understand what is true, wanting to reach into the God's word and seek out what is right and true. Zechariah 8, verse 14. For thus says the Lord of hosts, just as I determined to punish you when your fathers provoked me to wrath, says the Lord, and I would not relent, so again in these days I am determined to do good to Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Do not fear. These are the things you shall do. These are the things that we are mandated to do, that become part of us. Speak each man the truth to his neighbor. Not to have a lying tongue and not to bear false witness. Of course, false witness comes into Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. It's part of the Ten Commandments. Speak each man the truth to his neighbor. Give judgment in your gates for truth, justice, and peace. Let none of you think evil in your heart against your neighbor. And do not love a false oath. Those who would say, this is the way it is, and, give me that nice book there, I'll put my hand on it, and I'll tell you the truth, and I'll tell you a lie. Let none of you think evil in your heart against your neighbor, and do not love a false oath. For all these are things that I hate, says the Lord. Wow. Things that God hates, that he doesn't want to be part of. Part of that list of seven to shed innocent blood. I won't go heavily into that. But we know that God says if you were to hate your brother, it's as if you murdered them. The Ten Commandments has become much more applied in our lives. Those who devise wicked plans. Jeremiah 17:9. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things. We live with self-deceit. And we devise wicked plans. We plot and seek revenge. Feet that are swift to sin. Again, self-deceit. Where we look to pleasure and say, well, it's good, isn't it? And you seek consensus and you seek approval. And then we get to false witness against the brethren. It says, let me read it again, because the emphasis is important. It says, a false witness, well, that's one who lies. A false witness against, a false witness who speaks lies. And I'm combining two, I'm sorry. And one who sows discord among the brethren. The false witness who speaks lies and sows discord among the brethren. Gossip. Character assassination. A false witness is more personal than just lying. Lying to protect yourself, lying to aggrandize yourself, or lying to get power and position. That's one thing. But a false witness is personal. And you're reaching into the lives of other people. You're reaching into the lives of other people. Ephesians 4. Maybe I've cut too many scriptures out already. Ephesians 4, verse 25. Therefore, Ephesians 4, verse 25, therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. We need to trust each other. What we say should always be true whenever we deal with one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place or opportunity to the devil. Verse 29. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. A false witness speaks only corruption, words that hurt and damage. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, so that, my phrase, so that it may impart grace to the hearers. When we talk to one another, we are not gossiping. When we talk to one another, we are not using character assassination. We are not building ourselves up and putting people down. We're not hurting others. We're not damaging others. But whatever we're saying is necessary for education and strengthening one another so that it impacts grace to the hearers. It impacts grace to the hearers. Verse 32, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. If Christ and God has forgiven us, how much more should we be merciful to one another? That when we're each going through a trial and difficulty, we should have that care and concern for one another. For one another. I don't know why I put this there, but let's go to Proverbs 3. I have a notation here. Now I'm curious. Proverbs 3. Verse 3. See what it says. Yes. Talking about a lying tongue and being a false witness. Proverbs 3, verse 3, let not mercy and truth forsake you. We're looking for mercy. We're looking to be forgiven and to be a forgiver. And we're also looking to have truth with us. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Mercy and truth is part of us from our inside out, written on the tablet of our heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, and in all ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. When we hang on to the truth, God will direct our paths. How important is that? How important is that? And then it says that God hates those that sow discord. Well, this is based on pride. Again, it goes back to having a wrong opinion of yourself and a desire to hurt, subvert or damage others. And it says among the brothers, among the body of Christ. This is a place where we should be safe from such things. Pride intends to puff itself up. It wants to be right, not to do right. It wants to be right, not to think right. Am I tied to the truth? Am I a truth seeker? Psalm 15. Psalm 15, verse 1. Kind of one of our hymns that asks the question and answers the question, O eternal, who shall dwell on thy holy hill? And then it gives us the answer. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. Not just out and has a different opinion on the inside, but speaks the truth in his heart. He who does not backbite with his tongue, you know, the gossiping and the put down, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. And he who swears to his own hurt and does not change, I mean, he gives a false oath. Yeah, I'll do that for you. Never get to it, but I'll promise you anything if you just go away. He who does not put out his money as usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. This is the character of God. This is what he wants from us. He wants truth from the heart. He wants truth from our insides. We are to speak the truth. We want to be trusted. He wants us to know that we know what the truth is and we live by it. Psalm 133 should be in your memory scripture. How good and how pleasant it is for brothers and sisters to dwell together in unity, where we help and support one another, where we speak truth to one another, where we are giving of ourselves to one another. This kind of all points down to a real serious self-deception or lack of truth. This is the worst lie of all, or the biggest offense against the truth, is when we lie to ourselves. When we lie to ourselves. I forgot to write down who said this, but that's okay. We could look it up later. It ain't what you don't know that gets you into trouble. It's what you know for sure that just ain't so. We have ideas and philosophies and half-truths that we are just so positive are absolutely true. But unlike a Berean, we don't check out the truth. We don't see its veracity. We don't look to its truth and its source. But we possess it and hold it to our bosom like it's ours, never knowing its source or where it came from. Mark Twain said, a man is never more truthful than when he acknowledges himself a liar. A man is never more truthful than when he acknowledges himself a liar. It is humbling to know and to recognize that God already knows the truth about us. There isn't anything he doesn't know. We can't go on our knees before him and snow him. We can't go there and put a facade, the mask, because he sees beyond that. We cannot go before God with shadows of truth, partial truth, obfuscation of truth, little white lies with truth. We are completely exposed to God. He wants truth in our life. He wants truth in our life. If you read Huckleberry Finn was dealing with a situation that he wasn't happy with, the turning in of a slave. And he decided that he would write out a letter identifying where old Jim was and where he was hiding out. And then he said, if I could pray this, I could send that letter. He said, you can't pray a lie. You can't pray a lie. When we go before God, we don't lie to him. He already knows us. He says, when you come to me, I already know your needs, your wants, your desires, but talk to me. Share me your truth from your heart. Share me the truth from your heart. Dostoevsky, hard to say. He's the author of the Brothers Karamazov. He has a very interesting quote. He said, above all, don't lie to yourself. The man who lies to himself and listens to his own lies comes to a point that he cannot distinguish the truth within himself or around him, and so loses all respect for himself and for others. And having no respect, he ceases to love. Having no respect for himself or for others, he ceases to love. For a variety of reasons, people stray from the truth. And whatever those reasons are, they are not practical. They are not promising. They are not beneficial. We should seek out what is true. Some other thoughts on truth from my favorite writer. He said, when in doubt, tell the truth. He says, if you tell the truth, you don't have to remember anything. You ever tell a lie and then forgot who you told it to? And then it's coming back to you from a different source that you didn't know, because of course those things are shared. And then how are you going to phrase it or rephrase it or schmozzle it? You can't fix it. If you tell the truth, you don't have to remember anything, because you just go, well, that's what happened. You just remember what's true. He said, it's never wrong to do the right thing. Whatever situation you find yourself in, let's change that. It's never wrong to say the right thing. It's never wrong to think the right thing. And there, now, whether it's Twain or this came from the song lyrics in a country western song, there is no right way to do the wrong thing. There is no right way to do the wrong thing. Truth is stranger than fiction. And that is because fiction is obliged to stick to possibilities. Truth isn't. And always tell the truth. It'll gratify some people and astonish the rest. There are times when a friend of mine had trouble sleeping, and I said, well, let's go to Philippians 4. And while you're pondering on the bed, and while you're having difficulties closing your eyes, and the world is swirling around you, Philippians 4 wants you to meditate on some things. Wants you to meditate on some things. Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true. Whatever things are true. I mean, that's the first item on what things we should meditate on. It gives a whole list of things of what to think about. Whatever things are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtue, praiseworthy. Meditate on these things. The first one is truth. What is truth in our life? Truth is Jesus Christ died for us so that we can have our sins forgiven. Truth is that there is a coming resurrection into eternal life. Truth is God is our salvation. And He lights our path going forward. Truth is God will never leave us nor forsake us. What is truth in our life? That's the first thing we should think about. That's the first thing we should meditate on. What is truth? John 17:14. Jesus Christ is praying to God. This is the time of his death. This is the Lord's Prayer. He's praying. Verse 14, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world. And we know that's true, especially when we have such difficulties in our lives. But that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I not am not of the world. Verse 17. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Sanctify. Set them apart. We here are set apart from the rest of the world today. We are learning God's word. We are learning God's truth today. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. The word is Jesus Christ. John 1. The word is Jesus Christ. He is the word. He is truth. We are sanctified or set apart by the life of Christ, by the death of Christ, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Those things are true. And we're to think about and meditate on whatever things are true. God's word is truth. And we're set apart by context. We are to be different. We are to stand for the truth. Truth doesn't come from People magazine. Truth does not come from reality opinion TV programs. Truth does not come from presidential debates. They're looking for re-election. Truth does not come just by opinions. Truth does not come by Dr. Phil or Oprah. Truth comes by God, His Word. His Word is truth. Last scripture, 1 Timothy 2. 1 Timothy 2. Verse 1. Sometimes we wonder, with all that's going around us, what is part of our obligation to society. Well, we are to pray for all men. 1 Timothy 2, verse 1. Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. For kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. What's very interesting is other translations has it all godliness and truth. And this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. We are to live in godliness and honesty and truth. We're to be truth seekers. That should be who we are. We are to live by every word of God. We are to live by truth. We are to have our daily bread, which should be the truth. Jesus Christ is our daily bread. We should be truth seekers. Never should we find ourselves wondering, how should we act? Well, what's your opinion? What should we do? Well, what's consensus? We should always go to God's word, where the truth is. We should be tied to the truth. Not just avoiding lying, not just avoiding fabrication, prevarication, but we should be seeking the truth like the Bereans. What is true? When you hear me up here and I give a scripture and I give a point, you should be wondering, where is it in the book? What is true? Don't, as it used to be said, don't believe me, believe your own Bible. We should all be tied to the truth. It's a pleasure. I'll chat with you.